If Parisians think they're sweaty, one can only imagine sitting in the Pennsylvania State House hammering out the American Declaration of Independence in 1776, wearing wigs and waistcoats. There, the founders coalesced behind the idea that all men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founder of this newspaper, Mary Baker Eddy, echoed that declaration by articulating another trio of inalienable rights: self-government, reason, and conscience. The Monitor strives to honor your right to reach your own well-reasoned views and equip you to do so. That's true independence. It's Thursday, July 3rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff, writers, and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Wisconsin Supreme Court strikes down abortion ban. The court's liberal majority ruled 4-3 on Wednesday that the 176-year-old ban is no longer valid because newer abortion restrictions superseded it. The ban was in effect until 1973, when the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion nullified it, and it was never repealed. Conservatives argued that the Supreme Court's 2022 decision overturning Roe reactivated the prohibition. Russia escalates military offensive. The effort is scattering Kyiv's reserve troops and threatening to expand the fighting to a new Ukrainian region as each side seeks an advantage before the fighting season wanes in autumn. Analysts and military commanders say Moscow aims to maximize its territorial gains before considering a full ceasefire. Ukraine wants to slow the Russian advance for as long as possible. Also, Paramount agrees to a $16 million settlement in a Trump lawsuit. Mr. Trump filed a $10 billion lawsuit against CBS in October, alleging the network deceptively edited an interview that aired on its 60 Minutes news program with then-Vice President and presidential candidate Kamala Harris. Paramount said it would allocate the money to Mr. Trump's future presidential library and not pay Mr. Trump directly or indirectly. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Since the Israeli and U.S. strikes on Iran last month, optimism has grown that the Middle East may be on the cusp of historic change. American President Donald Trump has called for a 60-day truce in the war in Gaza, the longest conflagration in a century of Israeli-Palestinian hostilities. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is due in Washington next week. His government, meanwhile, is seeking to establish diplomatic ties with Syria and Lebanon. Dina Kraft and Shoshana Solomon report from Washington and Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. The legislation Republicans hope to pass this week to enact President Donald Trump's policy agenda would cut Medicaid to offset proposed tax cuts and other spending priorities. Changing eligibility requirements to that cornerstone healthcare safety net for poorer Americans would come at a time when two-thirds of those grappling with opioid addiction rely on the social benefit for treatment. Patrick Johnson reports from Asheville, North Carolina, for The Monitor. In a letter from Paris, our correspondent writes, "As I sit working in this Parisian cafe, any last romantic notions of a life abroad in France have gone down like a lead balloon. There is no air conditioning, my legs are stuck to these cheap leather seats, and there is nary a fan in sight. Saying to a French person that you yearn for air conditioning is enough to get yourself banned from social gatherings here for the rest of your life. At this point, I'm willing to try anything. In the meantime, if you need me, I'll be in the frozen food aisle." Colette Davidson writes from Paris for The Monitor. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, yes, that's a thing, Americans eat more than 20 billion hot dogs each year. July is National Hot Dog Month. On Friday, July 4th, we'll thumb our noses at tyranny by eating about 150 million of what the folks down in Texas called tube steaks. Much like America itself, the hot dog is an idea, a culinary act of pluralism. Declare your independence with a mustard of your choice. Henry Gass reports from Austin, Elgin, and West Texas. Today's essayist writes, "The day my daughter Chloe turned 16 years old, I handed her a box. Inside was a 48-star American flag folded into a square. Your great-grandfather wanted you to have this today," I said. Like many Americans these days, he and I sharply disagreed on politics and what our country represents. But staring at the flag anew recently, I felt a glimmer of hope. Like my memories of him, the colors hadn't faded at all. The stitches holding the red and white stripes together held firm, and the proud stars pierced through a sea of blue, waiting for someone to believe in them again. Contributor Kimberly Lovato writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Colombians are rallying behind a tested democracy. Colombia's political foundations, as well as its ability to quell armed rebel groups, are under severe stress. An assassination attempt on a presidential candidate, followed by an alleged plot to overthrow the country's first left-wing president, Gustavo Petro, has jolted the nation. Yet the Latin American country's commitment to democracy is holding so far. "We are a country that has bled, but also one that has built," wrote Foreign Minister Laura Sarabia in the Miami Herald June 23rd, acknowledging a long history of civil war and political violence. "And millions of Colombians still believe that ideas, not bullets, will shape our future." After the June 7th shooting of Senator Miguel Uribe Turbay, a conservative running for president, both government and opposition leaders condemned the attack. "This act of violence is an attack against democracy, freedom of thought, and the legitimate exercise of politics in Colombia," President Petro's office stated. Security forces arrested the 15-year-old gunman and others, but have not yet determined who ordered the attack or why. Colombia has enjoyed a measure of peace since a landmark 2016 pact with the country's then main rebel group, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, known as FARC. Yet more than a dozen splinter cells are still active, many affiliated with drug and criminal cartels. Some groups recruit youth to participate in armed violence and targeted hits. Political tensions have risen as Mr. Petro's agenda to pass liberal reforms and negotiate with remaining rebels has faltered. After the assassination attempt, however, the Senate quickly passed the president's labor reforms. And after the revelations by El País newspaper about an alleged plot to overthrow Mr. Petro, center and right-wing opposition politicians unanimously condemned such a notion. Ordinary Colombians have no wish to see a return of the rampant political violence of the past. This experience is in part what's driving a younger generation of political leaders to actively participate in shaping Colombia's democracy. Several of them, such as Mr. Uribe, Senator Maria Jose Pizarro, and Senator Juan Manuel Galán and his brother, Bogotá Mayor Carlos Fernando Galán, lost a parent to killings during the late 1980s and early 1990s. As security analyst Sergio Guzmán put it to the Miami Herald, "What the country really needs right now is a president who serves as a healer." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we become aware of God's loving ever-presence, we discover that we are free from the fear that would shackle us. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Jeff Turton, Tim Malone, and Tanya Raghu.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.